Okay, so we are ready to go. Beginning of Simen Resh Pei Aleph. We are in the Torah. Actually, the previous Mishnah is a pretty famous one because that deals with the previous Mishnah is the idea that you don't pay for captives more than their value, right? That was the previous, unless, or at least the community is not obligated and shouldn't perhaps pay for captives more than their value. So that's the previous mission of Maseches Gittin. So this one is, the next Mishnah says, and if you're on page one, it's in the, we could see it in the tour. Sefer Torah, I'm not sure this is an exact quote or not, but Sefer Torah Shekasfu Min, oh, I'm sorry, actually, this is already the beginning of the. This is already the beginning of the Gemara. If you go to the next, there it is. The on the second page in the Torah it says V'afal pisha in karbo miu imrosel. You know, let's just read the Torah. It says Sefer Torah shekasfu min yisarif kasfu gai yignas. That a Sefer Torah that was written by a min. Right, a min is somebody who is an oved avodah zarah. So it that would be burnt. Meaning, if somebody who is a servant, serves Avodah Zarah, they're known as an Avodah Zarah person, so they write it, you will burn it. And it sounds like even if it's a Jew who became a Min, you would burn it. So Kasfu Gai, however, for a non-Jew, wrote a Sefer Torah, so then we would say Yignas. That would be put into Geniza. However, it sounds like from the Torah, it would not be used. Now, Nimsa Biyad Min o Biyad Gai Yignas. If you find it in the hands of a Min, not that you necessarily know that he wrote it, you just find it in his possession. Obiyad gai, or a non-Jew, so then it would be gonez. Ve'in korinbo, and you wouldn't read off of such a Sefer Torah. Ve'afal pisha in korinbo, and even though we wouldn't read it though, chayvin hatzibur liknosu mimenu ulegonzo, kadei shelo yizalzobo. Still, you would, the tzibur would be obligated to purchase it and put it in geniza, so that it will not be mizalzel. So if a non-Jew comes, and I'll tell you this actually happened to me in a minute, a non-Jew comes and says, hey, I have this Sefer Torah, you might be interested in it, so you would not be able to read it. However, you should, or at least the congregation should purchase it from him in order to put into Geniza, because otherwise they will be mezalzel in it. Umiu im rotzel alosa harbe in konos. However, if they want a lot of money for it, so then you would not have to do it. Elbichte damav umaat yoser. Rather, you would only have to spend its value and a little bit more. Vim rotzel haloso harbe manichin oso biyado. And if he wants to try to raise make a lot of money off of you, so then you can leave it in his hand. You can just leave it and move on. You're not required to spend a lot of money. So that, by the way, is why it is. Oh, I see we have some more people. I was looking at the source sheet. So I'll re-put the source sheet in the box in case you need it. Okay, so
you're not allowed to read from it at all, or you can't read publicly from it?
So, well, it sounds like I think the context here is using it for the mitzvah. I mean, are you allowed to use it for Kriya Satorah? So you would not be permitted to use it for Kriya Satorah. However, you would be you should purchase it because otherwise the non-Jew would might disgrace it. So in order to save this from disgrace, so the community should purchase it back. Again, but only for a reasonable amount of money, not if they're trying to, what's the word I'm looking for when they try to extort, right. Not when they're trying to extort money from you, right? That.
If you want it for your own learning or for your own study, can you buy it or
right,
not?
So would you be permitted to use it? So I think the concern is only that it might be, I mean, this probably has to do with the prohibition of keeping puzzle Sefer Torah around. So if you have a way of marking it such that it would not be, such that you know that it wouldn't be used, so it sounds like then I don't think there's a requirement to be gonez it. So this happened, I was waiting for my father to come in, but when we did our Poland trip, this now going back over 20 years, so I don't remember how this happened. We actually ended up in somebody's apartment somehow. It was not a large tour. It was only about 25 people on it, and somehow we ended up in somebody's house. I can't imagine how this would happen today. But somehow we ended up in somebody's. Oh, there's my father. And the person said that they had them or their neighbor had some artifacts that we might be interested in, and actually produced a piece of a Sefer Torah, not the entire thing, but a piece of the Sefer Torah, and said that you know, that I'm willing to sell it. Now, how much? What is the value of a piece of a Sefer Torah? Right, like it's going to be very difficult. It's hard enough to establish the value of an entire Sefer Torah. Right, what is the value of a piece of a Sefer Torah? It's not something that's going to be written on. It's not or learned from. Right, it's just there. Right, so it's hard to say. And I think the person, I wasn't part of the negotiations. I think somehow they established that the person wanted too much money for it, and they. And we left. I mean, we did not purchase it off of them. But right. So I don't remember how. I remember this taking place in somebody's apartment. I have no idea recollection how we got in this person's apartment. Like what was going on? What was going on with that?
It was somebody came by and said he had a Torah upstairs that you want to buy it.
Right, but like all 20 of us would file into this guy's dining room. Like how did that happen?
No, it's a little hazy, it's been a few years.
Right, okay, anyway. Right, so that is the Shaila presented here. A, in that situation was only a panel of a Sefer Torah, was not an entire Sefer Torah, and what would happen if it was an entire Sefer Torah? Okay, so...
Yeah, I don't think if our burly Polish guide wasn't with us that anybody would have gone up.
No. I don't think we would have any idea what they were talking about had that guy not been with us. So that's sort of the situation how this would present itself. Now we'll see at the end Rav Moshe actually presents the opposite situation. We'll get to that a little bit. We'll get to that later. I'll put it up again. Yeah.
I was late.
So that part about the sort of the Torah being held ransom. Where do we get the fact that you wouldn't have to spend that much money on it, only its value? So that's comparable to the issue of the captives, right? We don't want these people constantly taking our money and trying to extort money from us. So therefore, Mishum Tikkun Olam, in order to save everybody, so it was established that we would only pay the value, we wouldn't have to pay more than the value. Right, by the way, the halacha with the shvuyin as well. You don't pay more than their value, but you would pay their value. Now, I never quite understood that meaning. Even if you're paying their value, the alternative is that they have no money, unless they would use the person as a slave. So I guess if they use them as a slave, so then you could pay them their value, and they'd be coming out even. Okay, anyways, so that is the Mishnah. Now the Gemara gets into. Here in Maseches Gittin, and it gets presented here in the beginning of the Beis Yosef on the first page, right? Sefer Torah shekasvu min yisarif kasvu ga yignas. So where is that coming from? So that's what the Gemara picks up on. The Gemara says Mimra de Rav Nachman, right in the beginning, right off of that Mishnah, right? And he quotes this idea that a Sefer Torah that a min writes, that somebody who's an Oved of Avodah Zarah, so that actually gets burnt. That would not be saved. That would actually get burnt. And if a guy writes it, so then it gets put into Geniza. So what is this min? So Rashi says a min, Aduk b'Avodah Zarah, meaning it's connected to Avodah Zarah, Kagon Komer, like a priest. I mean, Avodah Zarah type person. So you saw if it gets burnt, why? Devadai l'shem Avodah Zarah kasup. So it was certainly written for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. Now, just... put the question in our head, what does it mean it was written for the purpose of Avodah Zarah? It was a full-fledged Torah that was written for Avodah Zarah? In which case, what? In which case, it looks exactly like a Torah. The names of God, the names of Hashem are the names of Hashem. And it was just written having in mind Avodah Zarah, right? So keep that, just keep that, that's what it sounds like. So keep that in mind. So Mashmi...
This is Rambam?
This is from the Gemara itself, this is Rashi's take on the Gemara.
Because Rambam believes that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, right?
The Rambam does assume that this is Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is not dealing with Christianity. The Gemara is dealing with Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's what the Gemara is talking about. But either way, I think everybody assumes that for a Jew, it's considered to be Avodah Zarah. Now,
I understand, but if a priest has a Torah...
Yeah.
Is that necessarily have to be put away in a Geniza or burned?
It's a good question. So hold that thought. But the word priest here is being used as a priest of Avodah Zarah, right? Not the black collar type, the colorful robe type.
About today's day and age.
Right. So would that change the status today? So we'll see. So Mashma Divrei Rashi Sham. So Rashi sounds like Shim Kasvu Gai Kedei Lemachru LeYisrael Kasher. So based on what Rashi's saying, it sounds like that the only issue is that we're concerned that they wrote it for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. But if they actually wrote it, meaning a non-Jew wrote a Sefer Torah, and he has in mind, I'm writing this for the Jews, and I'm going to sell it to the Jews, it sounds like that it would be kosher. Now we'll see Rashi whether he actually meant that. Tosfos chelku alav upaslo. Now Tosfos disagree, argues on him and passels it. V'li nira degam divrei Rashi efshar lefarish b'inyan shegam hu yifsol. And I think, this is the Beis Yosef talking, Yosef Kaur talking. I think that you could read Rashi that in that scenario where a non-Jew wrote it, that you would assume that it would be pasul also. Where does he? What?
Didn't we say a non-Jew you have to bury it?
That's the Torah talking.
Yeah, but I think it's based on
it. So let's see the Gemara. I put the Gemara on. The Gemara is on page 4 of the source sheet. So the Gemara is a Meseches Gittin Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. So the top of the page here, right, deals with so Mifnei Tikkun HaOlam, that's the idea that you would not buy these artifacts for Yosir Bichdei Demehem for more than their value, Mifnei Tikkun HaOlam, because otherwise they're going to go around stealing all of our stuff and knowing that we are going to have to spend all this money in order to recover it. So Amar, so now in the beginning of the Gemara, so Amar Le Rav Budya Le Ravashi, so Rav Budya says to Ravashi, Yeser Al Kedei Demehem Hu De'ein Lochin Ha Bichdei Demehem Lochin, but for its value you would have to buy it. So Shema Mina Sefer Torah Shenimsa Biyad Ovi Kochavim Korinbo. It sounds like you can read from it. To which the Gemara responds by saying, well, no, Dilma Ganos, meaning maybe all that means is that you would put it in Geniza. Okay? So what's that first stage of the Gemara doing? The first stage is suggesting, well, does that mean you could even read from it? So right? Well, why else would you be purchasing it back? To which the Gemara responds, no, Dilma Lignos. No, maybe you're purchasing it back in order to put in Geniza rather than having the non-Jew using it for whatever purpose they would be using it. So Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinan, but we do have a tradition that Sefer Torah Sheksavu Min Yisarev, Kasvu Ovei Kochavim Yignas, right? But it's written by an Ovei Kochavim would be put into Geniza. So Gemara explains, Nimtza biyad min, if it's the possession of a min, however, only Nimtza biyad min, if it was found in the hands of a min, so then it would be gones, Nimtza biyad ovi kochavim, and if it was found in the hands of ovi kochavim, amrle yignas, some say you would put it away, v'amrle korinbo, and some say you could actually read from it. So if a non-Jew shows up and says, hi, I have the Sefer Torah, where'd you get it from? I'm not telling you. So there is a suggestion that you would actually be able to read it. Okay, so this is where you get into this dispute between Rashi and Tosfos as to what that means. So does it mean that you could actually read it, read a Sefer Torah written by a non-Jew? So Rashi here, Rashi on the side, if you look, Dibur Maschil v'Amri Le.
You're talking about this is a case where he just found the Sefer Torah with a non-Jew. We don't know who wrote it or.
Correct. The Beis Yosef recorded Rashi as saying that you could actually read when it was written by a non-Jew, right? That's the way the Beis Yosef records it, right? That he says other people going right Yisarif right Mashma Divrei Rashi Sheim Kasvu Goy Kedei Lemachru LeYisrael Kasher, that if a non-Jew wrote it for the purpose of selling it to a Jew, it would actually be kosher. Now that's not so crazy because we do have such a concept of lishma. We do have a concept of a Jew overseeing the actions of a non-Jew, and potentially, I didn't review all this, but potentially, at least we entertained the possibility that would qualify for lishma. So, for example, a lishma by tzitzis, if you would need such a thing, that tzitzis need to be made lishma. So if a Jew was overseeing a non-Jew do the work, so potentially that would qualify. Not lahalacha, but just that it's discussed. Okay? So it's not so crazy, so far out there. So where did the Beis Yosef quoting this Rashi from? So Rashi here, about, I don't know, 10 lines down the skinny lines on the left, Rashi says, Ramila Korinbo. Some suggest you could even read from it. Why? The Sfeik Sfeikahu. Because it's a double doubt. Shema Yisrael Kasvu, meaning we don't know exactly, we don't know where it came from. Maybe a Jew wrote it. The Imtim Solomar Hu Kasvu, and even if you say that the non-Jew wrote it, Shema Limkor Li Yisrael Kasvu, Lo L'Shem Avodas Kochavim. That maybe he wrote it for the purpose of selling to a Jew, and not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. Right, so that, what does that sound like? It sounds like there's, what Rashi is saying is that there's two possibilities how it would be okay. Possibility number one is to say, well, a Jew wrote it, the non-Jew just picked it off somehow. And then the second possibility is that maybe the non-Jew did write it, and if he wrote it for the purpose of a Jew, it sounds like Rashi is saying that that would then be okay anyways, and therefore okay. So because of that double doubt, perhaps it would be permissible. Now, okay, so that's possibility A. Now, Tosfos on the top right of the page makes the comment. He says, "Page Bakuntra is the Havale Sveik Sveika, the Shema Yisrael Kasvu, Afil Kasvu Okulchavim, Shema Kasvu Limkurli Yisrael, Velo Shema Vodos Kulchavim." Right? He quotes Rashi as saying that it's a double doubt. Maybe a Jew wrote it, and even if the non-Jew wrote it, maybe he wrote it for the purpose of a purpose of the Jew. Vei Nira, right? And Tosfos says, I don't see it that way. Why? The Rav Nachman Ka'amar Kasvu Oikul Chavim Yignas. Because Rav Nachman said that if a non-Jew wrote it, it gets put into Geniza. Right? So Tosfos says, hey, wait a second, right? Tosfos is raising the same question that Joel did. He says, wait a second, didn't the Gemara just say that if it was put into Geniza, that if a non-Jew wrote it, gets put into Geniza? Right? What happened? Right? Why is Rashi allowing for that possibility that, oh, well, maybe you'd be able to even use it? Even if you wrote it for the purpose of selling to a Jew, as later on we explain, because later on this daf we say that anybody who is not subject to kishira is tying, is not subject to kesiva. What's that referring to? It's actually referring to tefillin. I mean, somebody who is not able to write tefillin. And the assumption is that extends as well to mezuzahs and to sifrei Torah, which is why we don't have women sofrim, right? So comes the Mishushenu Bikshir, Enu Biksiva, Ela Taima de Armi La Korinbo, Mishum de Ika Limusle Tfeshi Yisrael Kasvu, the Ein Derech Ovikukhavim Liksov. So why in this case does the Gemara suggest that you could even read it? Meaning if you buy it from a non-Jew, or some guy in the middle, I think it was, I don't remember what town that was in. That was in, it wasn't Tikhtin, it was some shul that had a destroyed shul with arches with a very nice bima. So in that town, right, some non-Jew stops you and says, "Hey, I have this Torah here. Do I have any suspicion that this guy wrote it?" No, right? Obviously, he picked it off of some Jew or from the shul after the Nazis came in and destroyed the place, right? So chances are much higher that it actually was a Sefer Torah written l'shem mitzvah than it is that this non-Jew wrote a Sefer Torah or wrote a panel of the Sefer Torah on his own. So that's why the Gemara suggests, says Tosos, that's the reason that the Gemara suggests you would actually be able to read off of such a Sefer Torah that was purchased from a non-Jew. Because chances are, even though you could raise this double doubt, maybe a non-Jew wrote it, still the chances are much weighted on the other side that it was written by a Jew and the non-Jew somehow got a hold of it. Yes, Dan?
You were saying that the women can't be suffering because they're not chayiv the mitzvah, but for obviously for tefillin that they don't read the Torah, they don't wear tefillin. But if there's a home that only has women, do they not need a mezuzah?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I'm wondering about that. It's actually Sif Gimel is where it actually gets recorded. A Sefer Torah that writes it, Sefer Torah written by a woman is pasul. I assume the similar halacha will show up in Hilchus Mezuzah and we'll cover it then. But yes, I have that same question. In fact, I often get asked, when I give them, usually when I sell mezuzahs to people, I'm more often selling it to the woman than to the man. I mean, usually she's the one that's home, or she's the one that's more nervous about it, right? So she like wants to get it up right away. So he's like, is there any reason I need to wait for my husband to come home? So no, you also have an obligation to put the mezuzah on the door, just like he does. So why is it that the writing would have to be by a man? So we'll table that. Hopefully not for too long until we get to that in Hilchos Mezuzah. But right now I don't know the answer. But it occurred that the same question occurred to me today as well. Okay, so that is that lays out this. So when the Beis Yosef says that, it could be Rashi assumes that way. Also, it could be that Tosfos is not arguing on Rashi, but rather explaining Rashi. That we don't have to burn it because there's a decent chance that it was not written by an Oved Avodah Zarah for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. But and when you then put the double doubts did the non-Jew, did the Jew write it and the non-Jew got it, or the non-Jew actually wrote it? So it's not an equal suffix. It's not equals levels of doubts. Rather, it's much more weighted to the first one that the non-Jew is, that the Jew is the one who actually wrote it. Now, actually, that's what gets explained in the continuation of the Beis Yosef as well. I think he quotes a Ron here, the Ron that says that explicitly. But okay, so let's leave that and head to the Shulchan Aruch itself. Yeah.
I'm having a little trouble understanding the concept of someone writing the Torah for the purpose of idol worship. The whole Torah is full of warnings against idol worship. It's a little hard to grasp if he actually writes a proper sacred Torah with all the right words, and it's for the purpose of idol worship. Unless
he's
trying to burn it or something.
So it could be off. I mean, maybe it could be offered as some sort of like gift or korban or something like that.
Or it could be that the Christians who include,
Christians, I could see.
Yeah, among, with their additional stuff.
Right.
The real idolatry.
Right.
There is a case that came. I think the article was in the newspapers today about a fellow in Yerushalayim who looked like a firm Jew with a beard and everything. Who turns out he was part of a Christian sect, and he was there to he was Shumat Jews, and he was out there as a Kohen. He said he was a Kohen and that he was also a sofer, and he actually went and took Pidyon HaBen money in different places. and if he was working as a sofer and he would have done mezuzahs, what happens with those mezuzahs? That was a certified. So this could have been going on for years.
Right.
He said 5 years. He's
been at 5 years. I didn't see that far.
This was recent. This is just the news.
This is today's paper.
This
yeah.
Today.
Today's which paper?
It was online. I don't remember which thing. I was looking at it. But there was an interview with him.
All right.
He was being interviewed on some Christian television show. Uh-huh. And this guy is like, he would fake me out.
Right. Right, so I think this here. I keep alluding to this tshuva at the end, the flip side of it. So that is actually Rav Moshe has a tshuva about missionary material. Right? Is that something that would qualify to be burnt or not? So, so Rav Moshe uses this as tries to figure this out. But I think the standard answer is that he wrote the Shem Hashem having in mind an Avodah Zarah. I think that's the suggestion. Right? I guess if you write it having in mind the Jewish God with the idea of presenting it to you, that maybe that would make it not as bad. I'm not sure. Okay, so if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself, so Shulchan Aruch says, Sefer Torah shekasfu apikorsim. Now, also something to just be careful about here is, you know, all these words that are being thrown out here, what the original intent was and what the censors got to and what exactly is being defined here is a little hard to tell, because they wouldn't really use the term Christian outright to describe such a person. But Sefer Torah shekasu apikoros. So an apikoros wrote a Sefer Torah. Yisari, if it needs to be burnt. Kasfu kinani, if a kinani wrote it, yignas. Right, so what does it mean actually that a Kanani wrote it? So Rashi says here, Afilu kasvu limkur li Yisrael, right? That the Kanani here is not the Ovid of Avodah Zarah. It sounds like it's just some guy, and he wrote it even to sell to a Jew. So it need to be put into Geniza, right? Because and Rashi and the Shach here adds in upashad hu delo adif me eved v'isha. Certainly, this person is certainly no better than an eved or an isha, as we see in Siv Gimel. Meaning, how could you? In fact, it's on the same daf in Maseches Gittin that prohibits women from doing that. It says a woman written Sefer Torah is possible. So it can't be that a non-Jew would be writing it would be kosher. The only possibility of saying that it would be kosher is if the chances are it was actually written by a Jew. That sounds like the way that it would have to be learned. Nimtza biyat. Now, if it's found in the hands of an apikoros, if any yodei mikas, so you don't know who wrote it, so yignas, it gets put into geniza. However, nimtza biyat kanani, and with that, it sounds like a regular non-Jew, and you don't know who wrote it, so yesh mi shemachshir. There are those who are machshirit. V'yesh omrim she yignas. There are those who say that it would actually be kosher to be written, and those that say it would have to be put into geniza. Who is it that says that it would have to be machshir? So this is an example of the Rambam being argued on by the Rush and the Rif. There aren't too many examples of this, but the Rush and the Rif are on the opinion that it would have to be gonez, and the Rambam says in the Mishnah Torah that it would actually be kosher to be read under those circumstances. And then that's the first half. And then you get to the second half. That was the premise that this Gemara and Mishnah and Gittin got into this topic in the first place. The tzibur would be obligated to purchase it. Oh, yoser matter a little bit more lignozo and to put in geniza k'deishelo yizalzabo, so it doesn't get mishandled. V'imratza lahalos bedamav, and the person yoser, the person wants a lot of money for it. Michtei damav harbe a lot more yoser michtei damav harbe much more than its value. Manichin oso biyadu, you can leave it by him. Huchsiku shebazazu kananim sifrei Yisrael tolim sheosam svarim shalahem hayu v'korim behem. And if there is a chazaka that the kananim, that the non-Jews in the area actually did this, they actually went around taking sifrei Torah from the Jews and saying that they were their own. Tolin sheosam svarim shem. You can say that these were definitely belonged to the Jews. V'korim behem. And you can read from it. Meaning, if it's found by the non-Jew and they refuse to tell where they got it from, they just say, listen, you want it or not, so you have the right to assume that it was written by a Jew, and you would be able to not just you should buy it, but even that you could actually use it. Okay? So that is
So some time ago there was, and I'm not sure it may still be the case, there was a black market for Torahs. Now, I'm not sure whether it was Jews selling the Torahs or not. I just heard about it.
Right.
I don't know the details.
Right. Well, it existed. People would buy Sefer Torahs and would steal Sefer Torah and sell it. So now they started, there's forms of coding on it now. There's like barcodes on the Atzei Chaim, and even within the Sefer Torah itself, they've started putting marks in it in order to be able to trace where it originally came from. And I think it's slowed down. I haven't heard about this in a while. Although in my shul in Phoenix, they actually, soon after I left, they broke into the shul, did not have much security. They pretty much smashed through a window, walked in, and walked out with the Sefer Torah. And it was found later in a dumpster. I'm not sure. Maybe they thought they'd be able to sell it, and then I don't know. I don't know if they ever figured out exactly what happened there. But you could Google it. Young Israel Phoenix stolen Sefer Torah, and it was in the news. I don't know if they ever figured out what came of it. So it certainly did exist. I think there's a large stop that was put to it. And nowadays, with at least newer Sefer Torah, it's much harder to do that. Okay, so So there is an interesting discussion here in the Pisrei Tshuva. The Pisrei Tshuva here, number two, number one talks about using Svarim that were printed by non-Jews. What's the status of the Kedusha of that? But he doesn't tell you what the answer is. He just alludes to something that's somewhat discussed by Rav Moshe. So we'll save it for then. But Beis Yisarif. So the Rambam Perek Vav Mihilchos Yisodi Atur Mevor the Mitzvah L'Sorfo. Not just are you allowed to burn it, but it's actually a mitzvah to burn it. Okay. And then see the Tshuvos Tshuva Me'ava. Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Yud B'Sefer Torah Shekasfu Echad. Now you have a Sefer Torah that was written. Somebody Keshahaya Nechshad Ma'od Shehu Makas Hamaminim Mikas Hamaminim B'Shaptei Tzvi. That there was a Sefer Torah that was written by somebody that we're very suspicious of, that they were part of the Shaptei Tzvi movement. So I'm not sure what the next words are. Shavur Shchik Tamia. I'm not sure what that is. That some kind of phrase for something. Anybody know what that is, I don't know what that is. Va'achar zman nisparer hadavar, and then it became clear. Shekein hu, that it was true. Shehu makas harsha, shehu mikas harsha, right? That he was from that group, right? That so there was a suspicion. There was a Sefer Torah that was written when he was under suspicion, and then it turned out later on that we found proof that he actually was a full fledged Shaptai Tzvinik. So. Now, what's the piece of it? So we would qualify such a person. I think the assumption of the Pisrei Tshuva here is that such a Shaptei Tzvinik is considered not bikoros, right? Is not considered a heretic, and we would not be able to use the Sefer Torah, and we would probably need to be burnt. But what's the remaining question, right? The question is, well, we know now he was a Shaptei Tzvinik, but we don't know if he was a Shaptei Tzvinik when he wrote the Sefer Torah. I mean, what was he at that time? So, V'achar Hazman Yisparah Davar Shekin Hu Shehu Miyachas Hashar V'chasev the Mitzvah L'Sorfo. So the Tshuva Mi'ava says, yeah, it's a mitzvah to burn it. Af Shebe'ish Shekasev HaSefer Torah Lo Haya Ella Nechshad. Even though he was only Nechshad, even though he didn't have the proof, it was only suspected Shaptai Tzvi person, still, that's enough for us to say that we should go ahead and burn that Sefer Torah. Ach, B'tshuvas hagon baal nodu b'Yehuda sham b'simen kuf yud beis os gimel. Now I don't know what the sham is. I don't know where sham is ibid. I don't know where he's going to. And the nodu b'Yehuda kuf yud beis os gimel there's not generally osios in the nodu b'Yehuda. It happens to be I opened up the nodu b'Yehuda tinyana to simen kuf yud beis. There was an os gimel. It had nothing to do with this topic. And then I looked at the top and saw that it was the section of choshen mishpat. So I was in the wrong place. In your Yoredeya Kuf Yud Beis, it's in the middle of Hilchos Nida. So I don't know if there's a misprint. I assume in the new guys, actually the ones with the new editions in the Pisrei Tshuva, does it say there where it is?
I'm looking at yours.
Yud Beis, Osgimel.
It just says Yud Beis or Kuf Yud Beis?
Kuf Yud Beis.
Kuf Yud Beis, Osgimel. It says Sham, no to be Yehuda Sham.
Before that, it says Sham
B'Simon. Yeah, Sham B'Simon Kufi B'Zoskim. Okay, so I don't know where that is. Mavur Dim Lo Haya Be'is Haksiva Rak Nechshad Ein L'Sarfo Rak Ton Geniza. However, the Nodi B'Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, if we didn't have any proof that at that time he was, so we would not burn it. We would just put it into Geniza. However, Chasa V'Shaz Shuvas Harad Baz Chelik B'Yisim In Tavshin Ayin Dalad B'Sefer Torah Shekasu Echad Me Ha Karayim. That one of the Karayim wrote a Sefer Torah. So even though the Rambam Mona Osam Bichlal Haminim, so even though the Rambam counts the Karayim, right? Who were the Karayim? So they were the Torah Shebichsav people, right? They were what?
Called in English Karaites.
Right. I'm saying they only believed in Torah Shebichsav and not Torah Shebal Peh. So what exactly is their status? So the Rambam says, well, it lists them as apikorsim, however, or minim, but still, lo yusarif. You wouldn't burn it, the lo nikru minim linyin zeh. They're not called minim for these purposes, right? Klal, umisha sarif osa over mishum lo tasun kain eleton genizav asur likros bo betzibur, right? And somebody who would burn it, you would be in violation of lo tasun kain ashen lokechem, meaning you should not burn or destroy the avodah zara, and And but however, you wouldn't be able to use it for the mitzvah. It would just be a violation of destroying the shame of Hashem. Okay, so that's issue one. Now, another issue the Piskei Tshuva says, and it shows you another Tshuva of the Nod de Yehuda, and this one I was able to find, and certainly does exist, and not only does it exist, but we actually learned this Nod de Yehuda a little while ago. This is the Nod de Yehuda where he discusses the golden overlays over the black ink. What is the status of that? So, over the context of that, he discusses, hey, hiring a non-Jew to do that work. Right? So, what is the status of a of artwork that is done in a shul, l'shem kedusha, for the purpose of sanctity, but it was done by a non-Jew, right? So you could have an aron that, I don't know, maybe an Amish person did, and they put in carvings of, with including the Shem Hashem, or maybe some windows that perhaps would be done by a non-Jew. But certainly...
This first Beis HaMikdash was built by... Wasn't that built by non-Jews?
Well, it was. I'm not sure that that was actually the kadosh items of it, or there was actually Shem Hashem. But yeah, no, it's not a crazy thing to happen. So what's the status of that? So see the Nod de Yehuda chelik yerdeyasim kuf pei aleph b'shem shechatzvo uman ovei kuchavim al aron hakodesh. You have carvings done by a non-Jew on the aron. Im tzarech geniza. Does that aron now require geniza? After it's done being used. So, right, and maybe we have to be concerned. Let's say you actually hired an Oved of Avodah Zarah, and he says, and maybe you're suspicious, hey, wait a second, maybe he had in mind his own God when he wrote it. So it says in the Yehuda, no, we're not going to think about that. If you hired him, he's not going to do that. But if it was written by a Jew, and the thing itself is for a Jew, we're not concerned that he wrote it for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. Not only that, but it's only this concern is only if the non-Jew knows what he's writing. Shehusham. Aval Ovik Chavim al Piarov Eno Yodea Biksav Ashuris. Doesn't even know, he doesn't really know what he's writing. Rak Yisrael Marshim Lo Bitsevav. Just a Jew kind of, I guess, puts in the marking in ink. Ovik Chavim Lav Asa Ela Maise Kof. And the non-Jew is only doing a Maise Kof. Let's all keep that phrase between us, right? A monkey's doing what he's doing, right? So he's an artist, but from a halachic perspective, it's not an act of das, of knowledge. Bevadai ein chashash shem l'shem elilim ve'ein tzarech geniza. So therefore, we don't have a concern that it is for the purpose of a lilim, of a foreign god, and therefore it does not require geniza.
That is the question I asked at the time. These are windows that we have in our shul that I was involved in, and they have psukim and Shem Hashem, and they were done by somebody who was definitely not Jewish, someplace in British Columbia. And I asked that question. That's the answer I got, so we're consistent.
Okay.
Also, the additional question I asked is, it was being made in glass, and what if it broke, and now he had Hashem's name on a piece of glass? Is that requiring geniza? And the answer I got was, if a goy writes it, then it's not considered, it doesn't require geniza.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't written in paper, it was in certain glass.
It was carved in. Well, let's see. I mean, here the question is, does it require... Right, so the question here is whether it requires geniza, because it was written by an Oved Avodah Zarah. That's the phrasing of the question, meaning you have to get rid of it because it was written by somebody who was Oved Avodah Zarah. Now, so in which the Nod de Yehuda says, no, I mean, we don't have to assume that it was written for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. So now, do we then say, well, does it not have to be thrown out because it was written by a non-Jew? So the truth is that gets into a much bigger question, which applies Bizman Hazeh, of what is the status of all of our Sfarim, right? I would assume 95% of our Sfarim are technically written by a non-Jew, right? Are printed by a non-Jew, right? So right, who presses the button, right? Does that mean that, you know, art scroll Gemaras, which I believe are printed in China, I from what I heard, although I know they are printed in, they could be printed in New York, but I believe they are the bulk...
the larger volumes.
Right. I believe the bulk of them are printed in China. So what then becomes the status of them? Does that require Geniza or not? So I believe our assumption is that yes, and so I'm not sure is yes, and that gets into this issue with from Rav Moshe. So maybe let's well I included stuff from Gimel, but let's skip from Gimel. Let's just go straight to this tshuva here. So the tshuva is in Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simen Kufayin Beis. That's the last two or three pages of the source sheet, right? There we go. Yeah, so the Rav Moshe is talking about here, B'davar Sifrei HaRishayim, mi.
So what page you want now? Sorry.
Page 7. Yeah.
Over the beginning.
I'm sorry. I only have half the page on.
Half a column here.
How'd that happen? Like, sorry about that. All right, we'll do this first column. Okay, so Hinei B'davar Sifrei HaRishayim Ha Missionaries. Right, sheisham psukim oshemos. They actually have psukim or the names of Hashem on it. So here he writes, right, asher mafitzim lahasis ladiach, that these are used particularly to convince Jews to go astray. Veishem harbe psukim. There's a lot of psukim there. Imaskaros v'gam sham shem havaya, and there's even the shem of Hashem there. Asher nistatka im rishayim l'sorfam mitam dahamat, and therefore should we. In Rishayim, are we able to burn them? Mitam da hamatfis, the printer, ulai lo nischavin l'klum. Right? It was right. So when the missionary wrote it, the missionary had in mind some avodah zara, or perhaps a comparable to avodah zara, or maybe the Shem Hashem, and it would be used towards avodah zara, or to prove avodah zara. But Rav Moshe says, you know, they're printing psukim, and who's the guy actually printing it? Right? It's some guy named Joe who works in the printing press. Right, he's the one who printed this book. So what does that mean? Right, of etzem barish alone is chavin l'klum. He didn't have anything in mind. He got in mind to get paid. Right. So etzem barish alone is chavin l'klum. Amarfis eno misha osa osios. Right, the printer is not the one who made the letters. Shel ha'oferes shehu kora mashakasav. That's used to read that which is written. The shame bechlal eno bedin shame. Right. So the name is not really considered the name. Because when he put the printing in the way, when he set the type was print was put the opposite. So the only thing that he actually put together was the letters in the opposite order, right? Ela misha chosim al yedei hamashin esa osios, right? The one who's printing by way of the machine the letters haoferes al gayonos v'hu eno kore, and he's not reading it. He doesn't even have any idea what's written there. Mav nichtav sham. V'im kein hu kishem shenichtav shelo b'kavana shegam kein aser l'mochko. That just as it's something that is written not with kavana, shegam kein aser l'mochko, you're not allowed to erase it. V'lachein ulai aser, meaning it could be that the only prohibition, right, what do we have in our halacha and Shulchan Aruch? That if something was written l'shem avodah zarah, so then it needs to be burnt. What if it was written stam? Right, a non-Jew wrote it. So a non-Jew wrote it who was not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. You take it. Why? In order to put into Geniza. Right? Sounds like it can't be burnt. It has to. It has some amount of kedusha to it. So maybe here ulai usher. Maybe it'd be usher to burn. Right? Afshehu b'toch dvarim mechuarim ke'elu. Even though there are these mechuarim, disgusting things that are contained within it. Still, the guy writing it had in mind nothing, right? Just the Shem Hashem, and it was being printed. However, in the next paragraph, you can see the first half of the line, and sorry about that. He says, V'nachon l'fi aniyaz dais, he says, Rav Moshe, sh'reshayin l'sreifusom, you could burn it, im ha'askaru shebehen, u'meila mechuyavim la'asos kein mitam shavar. Not only are you permitted to do it, but you should do it. You should go ahead and burn these things. And he says, first of all, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, where Rabbi Yishmael says the Kal v'chomer by Sota, right? If Hashem allows his name to be destroyed for the purpose of Shalom Bayis between Ish v'Ishta, between a man and a wife, so certainly he would allow it for this purpose in order to preserve, in order not to go down the route of Avodah Zarah. He continues to have a discussion about what exactly is the status of this, meaning if it's just printed, it might not have any Kedusha anyways, or where does it go back to? I see we're sort of out of time, and I'm hearing a little bit that I'm out of time. So maybe we'll stop here and try to pick up this Mirtzah Hashem next week. Okay?
Thank you.
And I'll try to have the whole page for you. Sorry about that. Okay, good evening.